Oh man, it feels like a Friday, doesn't it? What's wrong with me right now? I'm a little loosey goosey. I apologize for
it. Did you have a glass of champagne before you got
into it's what it feels like. I had a little wine last night though. I'm not gonna lie to you, boy. Went to Slickweezy Steakhouse.
Ooh.
You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Oh, it was on. I hooked up the speaker, had the tunes going as I was cooking the Brussels sprouts, sweet potatoes, getting the steaks ready to go. I poured some red wine.
Slickweezy's. What a name.
It's the only meal I know how to cook. And I swear to God, this is a real interaction. I said, Kim, what do you think of her dinner night? She goes, I'm thinking Slickweezy Steakhouse. I was like, say no more. Say no more. I'm on it. A little red wine. You a wine guy at all?
I do enjoy me some wine.
Yeah, okay.
So from time
I've gotten to where like I'm at the point where I want wine more than anything else. That's not a manly thing to say though, right? You know, like I mean, sports my conduct, they don't call it one wine Friday, it's one beer Friday, right?
Yeah, but
I think if I tried to have my one wine Friday, I don't think people are gonna be sending me pictures of them holding their like Pinot Noirs.
I think that is a great crossover question.
Yeah. Could there be a one wine Friday?
Yeah.
I love wine, man. Wine's good.
Why? It's good.
Yeah. It's good. Sip it.
I feel classy when I drink it too.
Yeah. I feel good about things. I feel really, really good about things.
But man, it will sneak up
on you. It'll creep up on you, boy, a little bit. It'll sneak up on you a little bit. I do apologize for my robot Kawhi taking over the show, though. I've never done that. I swear to God, that is one of those things that just happened. It just happened. All right, apologize. Quick segment here to get kind of back on clock as we're all over the map. You know what I found interesting? So I was combing through. Also, I went into a dark room and locked the door and got out my magazine. My college football preview magazine. And I was reading some other anonymous quotes for some other teams. And I thought it was... This was really, really interesting on Northwestern. So Northwestern, I thought what they said at the start and at the end was really interesting. So this is an opposing coach sizing up Northwestern. Said, quote, "They're not the smart school football team. They're the physical one. They play harder than any team in this conference." And here's the thing about them. I agree with that, but they're also really smart. I mean, they were the least penalized team in the country last year. And here's what you've realized with Northwestern. When you combine toughness with intelligence, you got you a little something. You got a little something, something. Northwestern's just tough, and they're smart. But then I thought there was something else interesting at the end, because this is so true. This is so true. Obviously, people from the outside of the college football world, media members, fans, whatever, me having conversations with other media members on the show, talking to fans, and this sentiment is so true, but it's interesting to hear the coach side of it. This is what the opposing coach said on Northwestern to finish up his thought. He said, "This is a program everyone expects to fall back except other coaching staffs." So basically what he's saying is, listen, it's hilarious to me. Basically all of the coaching world thinks it's hilarious that everyone thinks that Northwestern's going to fall back because other coaching staffs don't think that. And here's the thing. You're going to take my word for it or coaches, you're going to take the fans' thoughts on what team's falling back or what other coaches think? Probably what other coaches think, right? Probably what other coaches think. I thought that was interesting because there is this sense, isn't there always something with Northwestern that's like, yeah, but, or like, I don't know if I buy it. Every year, no matter what they do. I mean, they're winning like 9-10 games, and people are like, yeah, but I mean, I don't buy it. Isn't it funny how, for whatever reason, there are certain teams that get slid into this file of like, I don't buy it. And then there's some teams that get slid into this file. Even when they don't win, it's like, yeah, but they're pretty good. For some reason, Northwestern's one of those teams that everybody's like, yeah, I don't. Now, don't get me wrong. They had a weird year last year. They had these weird years. They didn't win a single game in the non-con. And then they went undefeated in the Big Ten West and won the West. Like, so there is elements of like, well, what the heck? But nevertheless, they're pretty good. And then how about this on Michigan? This was interesting. So this is an opposing coach sizing up Michigan. He says, quote, Shea Patterson helped change the identity of the team. You can't oversell what his play style did for Michigan. But what will the changes really be on offense? Are they truly going to embrace the spread with the new OC? It's hard to see Jim Harbaugh doing that, but they have the right personnel to do it. Even with the changes last year, they were still pretty close to that Stanford 22 personnel stuff Harbaugh always done. A lot of coaches think they still want to grind you out and don't want to embrace the change. It's funny how we do this all the time in life where it's like, yeah, we say a lot of things. I want to change. But then when it comes right down to it, do you? You know, for George, you know, did this fairly, say, I want to lose weight. I want to change. Okay, well, then why are you eating pizza 5 nights a week? You know what I mean? Like, you can say you want to do it, but you got to then actually talk is cheap. Actions speak louder than words. Don't tell me, show me. There is this element, because I agree. There's this idea that Michigan's like, yeah, Michigan's trying to go spread and spread things out and do all that stuff. But when I watch Michigan play, they still look like a team that wants to just line it up and run it right down your esophagus. And I thought it was itch, because I thought the same thing in the opposing coach. Yeah, you know, I mean, listen. Are they really going to change on offense? Because when push comes to shove, here's the thing. When push comes to shove, you know, what is it? Like, you are what you are when you get squeezed, what Damon says or whatever. Like who you really are, what's inside you comes out when you get squeezed. And to me, when Harbaugh gets squeezed, what he wants to do is get under center and hand the ball off and chew clock and out-physical you. And you can say, oh, I want to change. I want to do that. We got to modernize the offense. We got to do that. But ultimately, your actions are what really separates things here. But I thought both those were very, very interesting. Very interesting. It's the Queasy Steakhouse. I'm trying to tell you, George. I got me a ribeye yesterday, too. That thing was thick. Thick. All right, coming up next, I got tweeted about it a little bit, and it's been talked about. I'll lay it back out regarding the whole asterisk conversation. Get into that when we come back.